think you cannot rhyme me? Yeah, boy, I bet, because I ain't met a motherfucker who can do that yet. Welcome, bienvenue, and another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Lebanon. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this date, July 23, 2025. It's important for me to remind you that this land is fucking stolen. Today's episode is also rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast ain't for you. It's also important for me to remind you that Whitey stole this land. All right, gang. Before I continue, I would like to shout out to all you listeners. Shout out to you listeners. And before we continue or do anything, I'm going to ask you to take this moment and applaud yourselves. I applaud, you applaud, we applaud. Yeah, I like to do this exercise as a reminder for us. Like, if you're my target audience and we have something in common, this is probably one of the few moments this day you took the time to do something nice for yourself. And by the way, if this is your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Yay! Go. Yeah. Here's hoping I say something in this episode that resonates and allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website, and ShutUpPodcast401@gmail.com. Quick reminder that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. In today's episode, titled 285, The Color Violence, I explain what I mean by the color violence. Needless to say, I'll be a bit more elaborate in the show notes, but I'll get to that. But before we start, we do this feature thought. We are going to start with some quotes and some randomness. I have this addiction. I don't know if you heard my phone notification go off on my phone, and I have a strong urge to forget that I'm recording and check where this notification is from. But I'm day by day. This is me in recovery, so I will not check. I will wait until the break to do it. With that said, let's start with some quotes. First choice. Right. Quote number one goes, you're never going to learn, grow, or heal if you think you're always right. Shout out to Poetry by Boots. The cheat code is to give people grace while still noting their behavior and removing yourself from the receiving end of their dysfunction. Amen. Shout out to, shout out to Talal Macy for blessing my timeline with this quote. And last one is, this one falls under trauma says, healing says. So not necessarily a quote, but it's a thought worth leaving with. And trauma says, I need them to admit what they did to validate the pain I feel. Healing says, some people cannot see past their own blind spot. My peace does not depend on their apology, but in knowing that I deserve more.
You know what that is? It's growth.
Felt, yes. Another thing about this podcast, we're all about growth. We celebrate growth. So, hence why I'm sharing it. All right. On to some randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
I just, well, first thing I need to put down, I made a note to say I smiled. And it's a big deal for me. this doesn't usually happen. While I was preparing for today's episode, you can't tell. I've gotten into the habit of recording myself, like video recording of myself. And it's funny, as soon as I turned on the camera and it focused on my face, I caught myself smiling at myself, which is a rare occurrence, but still. Yay! Like, I instinctively smiled as opposed to, gross, who the fuck is that? You know. So I guess that's some progress. Not bad for a guy who's been like 7:30 hot this week, but again, we'll get to that in feature thought. God damn it. Another notification. Don't think about it. All right. Second thought that I have about randomness is, damn, all of it involves celebrities. But you know what? Fuck it. Let's just do this. First one, man, RIP Jamal Warner. And I, yeah, I know. One of my homegirls let me know. Was this on Monday? Just let me know that, you know, I don't usually, how do I say this? I don't, well, at least maybe I'm lying to myself, but I was going to say, I don't usually make a big deal out of celebrity death, but I'd be lying to say that Malcolm Jamal Warner was like a, what's the word I'm looking for? Someone worth remembering, someone worth acknowledging, someone whose life worked. Did something for me. Like, it was a big deal seeing him as the young Theo in the Cosby Show. Damn, that name does not age well. Anyway, but not Theo Cosby. But I don't know. It was just, I didn't know him personally, but I was, it just, his death was a big deal for me. And I'm just gonna read this quote that someone posted, you know what, let me just, I have a bad habit of not giving credit to the name of the people who post, who are on these timelines, who post this shit, who post stuff like this, and the creator is B. Babs, and they wrote, the fact that he's been in so many eras of black television, he even played someone's dad in Grown-ish, he brought warmth and confidence to every single role. Well said, well said. Yeah, RIP Malcolm Jamal Warner. I was thinking about, you know, you work with white people when I, because on the same day Ozzy Osbourne died, and I, and they brought it up. Yeah, Ozzy died, and everyone, big deal. And I was about to type, yeah, and Theo from the Huxtable. I'm like, you know what, fuck it. Leave these white people in their worlds. Yeah, no one, well, I guess there was no mention of, it's funny, yeah, on my, in my black world, people were mourning Malcolm Jamal Warner. My white world, Ozzy Osbourne. I don't know much about Ozzy Osbourne. Everything, I'm convinced that everything I've been told about this guy, and, well, about, despite the fact he was a musician, but I think I mentioned Ozzy Osbourne because I'm thinking about, there's something about that name that reminds me about my youth, that makes me think of my youth, and all the fucked up shit they said about him. Like, these kids went off. And I remember, I was gullible. I was like, what? He ate a bat? He did what? He bust a nut in someone's face? No, I never heard that one. But there was a lot of fucked up shit about him. But, yeah, a chapter has disappeared.
So, you're a philosopher?
Okay, next on the, next on my, agenda. Oh, shit. Breaking news. All right, okay, no. This is my way of saying that I just inserted this last minute. Usually I prepare for these shows the day before, but this one I felt the need to really talk about because everyone else sees, not everyone else, but no, it got me emotionally. But so if you're on the internet, a lot of people, our trending topic is how Laverne Cox reveals she dated blue-eyed mega Republican voter single for for 3 years, a Republican, MAGA Republican voter for 3 years. And needless to say, well, the content creator, I mean, excuse me, the person on Thread who shared this, they said, I like the, okay, first let me get their name, is Rel the Singer. And she wrote, you could not have waterboarded this information from me. Take it to your grave, sister. Anyway, and my only thought in this, so I'm just going to be real quick. My only thought in this, sure, see all the jokes you want, disappointment, whatever, right? But I know what it's like. My first thought is homegirl must have been really lonely. Or either really lonely or and didn't feel like she could do any better. For her to end up with this dude, with this kind of person. Look, man, yeah, I can't throw stones at people's relationships decision, bad quote unquote bad relationship decisions. I guess I'm throwing stones only because I've made my fair share of relationship decisions. I know what it's like to convince yourself. I can't do any better. What the fuck? Fuck y'all. And I think I'm applauding her more for sharing this information. I think this is her saying, yeah, fuck yeah, fucked up. There was a time I did. You know what? I'll just wait for the details, but something tells me that story is going to be heartbreaking. Yeah. This is not the first time I've heard of situations where, I mean, relationship. People in relationships and everyone's like, what the fuck was that all about? And, I want to say some bullshit the heart wants, what the heart wants. But again, that's the thing with relationships. Some folks is, I remember being in a dysfunctional relationship. Didn't matter. But I loved the idea of being able to say my girlfriend more than I hated being with this person. All right, then let's move on.
So, you're a philosopher?
Next item. Oh, right. Okay. This one. So, the word is out about Stephen Colbert losing his... I don't have an article about it. Just him telling Trump to go fuck himself. But, CBS, Paramount, whoever the fuck, have made the decision to cancel his show. And the word on the streets is, they're claiming the word in the press release is that for economical for money value. Look, we weren't making money off this whatever, and that's the word in the press release. But the behind the scene word is CBS like punked out. It's more like they let Trump talk them into or influence them or whatever. Forced them to cancel his show because, you know, he's a bitch. Yeah, I'm not going to talk about how he's a bitch. But anyways, I only bring this up because this is like me being like, I'm just remembering Stephen Colbert. Now, I wasn't a big fan of his late show. By fan is I didn't consume it as much as I used to consume the Colbert Report. Oh, man, I used to watch that shit religiously. And what I liked about that particular show is how he played a satirical character. And God damn it, he was good at it. Like, I've always wanted to mimic that shit, that kind of comedy. He played a character and back in those days. back in those days, pre-Trump days, the worst politician was George W. Bush. And he would play a Republican, a fan of the guy, but it was so... His comedy got us through George W. Bush, but did not prepare us for Donald Trump, but that's another story. Yeah, you know, maybe if we didn't write, you know, maybe if he hadn't done that kind of comedy, I'm kidding. I was about to say Donald Trump would have never existed. He pacified us. But all this to say that it's a damn shame. Tell you what, I'm going to play this one clip that I have of him, if it's not too long, and see where, but this is me saying, well, the man's not dying, but I'm just saying, this is me saying that, yo, I hope the future, look, yo, get this man a job. I hope, I wish him fortune in his next endeavors.
On Friday, Donald Trump posted, I absolutely love that Colbert got fired. His talent was even less than his ratings.
How dare you, sir?
Would an untalented man be able to compose the following satirical witticism? Go f*** yourself.
You heard the man.
Anyway, thank you.
Steve, thank you very much.
The president went on, I hear Jimmy Kimmel is next. Nope, no, no, absolutely not Kimmel. I am the martyr, okay? Okay, there's only room for one on this cross, and I gotta tell you, the view is fantastic from up here. I can see your house.
Oh, man. Yeah. Again, I wish him fortune in the battles that to come. Right, what's the expression? I wish you fortune. I'm trying to see.
I wish you good fortune in the worst to come.
That's what I meant to say. I wish you good fortune in the worst to come. Not that it's, you know what I mean.
So you're a philosopher?
This next one is push. Pusha T says, Let God Sort Him Out is the best album of the year, and who gives a fuck about other guys? Here, I'll play the actual clip.
Have you seen the rumors about him dropping his album the same day? Would that something like that bother you?
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm going to pause. They're talking about Travis Scott. Who? Exactly.
See, and I think, as far as other people dropping, I think that's part of the problem. When you deal with hip-hop, and the rudiments of hip-hop, you don't worry about the streaming or the numbers or the sales, especially when you love what it is you do.
You obviously have, there's like a lot of shots on the album. I'm just curious, like Travis, Jim Jones, if these guys start shooting back, are you going back, or is it just like, you know what, I said my piece?
Listen, man, we're just making amazing music, man. We're not concerned with any of these guys.
I saw a clip of Jim Jones where, like, I was trolling with the Nas stuff, and it made me think about that he was probably doing the same thing.
Who cares? Let God Sort Him Out is the best album of the year. Who gives a fuck?
Cosign.
Like, not even close.
Cosign. Let me tell you how good this album was. This album is. This album is so good. How good is it, B-Black? It's so good. I even bought the vinyl. I bought the vinyl. Now, I haven't gotten it yet. There's a chance Trump might fuck me on the... Oh, wait a minute. I don't pay for tariffs. I didn't pay my price. Whatever. It's... who knows? Maybe I'll pay some duty or some shit like that. But I bought the vinyl. I want you to understand. For me to buy... Wait, have I talked about this on a previous episode? Doesn't matter. I used to have a record collection, and I can't remember what made me get rid of it. Maybe it's because I talked myself into, you're an adult now, you're growing up, stop playing these childish, I don't know, whatever. But I used to collect a lot of records, CDs, and tapes, and I stopped that. It was an addiction. And now I feel like I'm coming out of recovery. Hey, another recovery joke. Coming out of recovery and bought another vinyl. Actually, I'm going to blame my homeboy, a friend of mine. He's got a record player, and he's been buying records. And then I've been like, I've been ever since that moment, I've been feeling like Pookie in a crack house. But my point is, this gave me the excuse. This album gave me the excuse to buy the vinyl. Do you know what I mean? It's one thing to have a digital copy, the free digital copy. I bought the vinyl. That's how good. That album made me want to celebrate hip hop. That's how good it is. But B Black, you don't sell drugs. I do when I'm listening to the album. Allegedly. Allegedly. I see the wire. You ain't going to get me, Lester Freeman. But yeah, anyways, cosign. On behalf of me and Shut Up Podcast, this podcast fully endorses this new album.
So you're a philosopher?
All right, I wrote that. Okay, you know what's interesting? Today's episode was supposed to be called My Life and This Podcast Part 2, which was supposed to be a follow-up to discussion I was having in the last episode. I was talking about exactly My Life and This Podcast, and the story was, I should write this shit down, how I, so I was explaining how, when I was preparing for the show, initially I was going to talk about how my podcast, in my opinion, is a 5-star worthy podcast, but how I don't act like it. And then something came up and made me want to talk about how, oh, right, the CEO, the CEO of Astronomer had me thinking about how I've been living this life. I feel like I've been living this life, but as an outsider, like, I'm looking at everyone live, like, my life is just looking at everyone live their lives, celebrities and whatnot, and just not partaking. And then I chose to make a link out of those two thoughts, and I couldn't do it, so I fed it into AI, and I read some shit, and then I'm like, I'm not sure if I fully believe it, but now this is me. The only link I'd make between the two is how I believe this podcast is my attempt to live this life on my own terms. To, like, as opposed to everyone's, like, it's the one thing that I do I don't feel like I'm being a spectator of. Oh my God, Jesus Christ. Yeah, thank you. I wrote that myself. That's the extra. That's the only idea I wanted to add. But with that said, this concludes quotes and randomness. And we're good on time. All right, so let's jump into today's featured thought. And before we do that, guess what? We're gonna take a quick break. All right, gang. I'm gonna be real with you. I'm struggling with this next topic, the color violence. I'm struggling with this next to what I want to say. All I know is I knew that this topic was occupying my mind for most of this whole week, and I haven't been able to let it go. And it got to a point I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to make this shit a topic of the podcast. So I work in, I'm going to get into specific, work in an office environment. And one of my white coworkers made a joke about me getting lynched by a mob. Now, the way he said it, it can easily get dismissed. It's gonna easily get dismissed. Either A, homeboy just put his foot in his mouth. B, he didn't see color. How was he supposed to know that? The relationship, big deal, you know, like, look, man, you're the only black guy he knows in the world. So how the fuck is he supposed to know that you're going to have I'm looking for an adjective. You're going to get all fucked up over this term. But all I know is when I first read it, my first thought was, nah, I can't let this one slide. I'm going to refuse to let this one slide. So my first instinct was to keep it real, having an episode of When Keep It Real Goes Wrong. But again, this was online. But instead, I just called them on it directly, one-on-one. Called them on it, said fucked up shit, and homeboy made it worse by the way he apologized, but like in a dismissive, like, the response was, to me, made shit worse. Add to that, because what was playing in my mind is this motherfucker's been miserable. He's been miserable. He's got like his ups and downs, but he's been miserable. So that's why I'm inclined to believe that this was part of his misery. Whatever. All I know is I've been spent since that moment, I've been trying to highly sensitive as a while being black. I've been regulating my emotions because I tend to get unproductive or look, man, I'm on that revenge is a dish best served cold type shit. But all I know is the first thing I need to do is process emotions, because if I just react over the first one, I'm going to get arrested. I'm either that or it's not going to. I got to handle this shit quickly because I'm also working with a group of white folks who are oblivious or who are like going to try to either gaslight me over this shit or tell me some bullshit about how, what do you call that? Some bullshit how, yeah, it was a faux pas. Come on, man, get over it. I'm going to get some bullshit. So I got to be like wise about how I react to it because I want the result. Now, here's the fucked up thing. A lot of thoughts into it. I ain't trying to get this dude fired. Because, again, calm down. Because, that's not my decision. I think what I hate the most about him is how he's been fucked up. And how they might use this as the way to, like, okay, we're gonna use this black guy to... whatever, disciplinary actions, whatever the fuck, right? Anyways, so all I know is it fucked me up, man. I've been thinking about it. Now, first and foremost, the reason why this title of the concept of the color violence, it was my way of, I was processing how, I was thinking about how I recently finished the book Know My Name by Chanel Miller. And who's Chanel Miller? I really hate bringing up Brock Turner's. She's the one who survived the ordeal with the sexual assault by Brock Turner. And a motherfucker who got 6 months for it. Anyway. And this moment helped me realize why I appreciated the book so much. Because I felt like it reminded me, I was impressed by how this woman was able to articulate rage, anger, without threatening violence. Without saying, like, yo, I see this motherfucker, I'm gonna fuck him up. Me and my homegirls and homeboys, we gonna stab him till he can't be stabbed anymore. There was no... I can't remember that, but I remember being impressed at her ability to communicate rage and not once use violence. She may have used a cursed word here or there, but it wasn't like she used a word. She was, and I think that's part of the point of the book, is just saying, this is what's so fucked up for me. I joked about, I'm kind of serious, I joked about how her book is so well written. I joked about how I feel like starting a support group called men who've read, I say men, but I'm put, I say men, but look, don't fuck up my bit. The men who've read her book and want to beat the shit out of Brock Turner only because they can't process the complex emotion this book brings up. And the analogy, the point I'm, okay, again, I forgot that I was in the middle of explaining what I mean by the color violence. What I was getting at, I felt like this woman, not just vocabulary, I felt like she was able to paint a picture in my mind using a multitude of colors. While me, on the other hand, I only know one color, violence. Like, what I've been feeling, like, my attempt to regulate emotions all I could picture was violence. Inflicting violence, threatening violence, bringing on violence. That's what I meant by getting arrested. Everything I was thinking about was illegal. It's like savagery. Being a savage. Bulekai Kupete. Like Dessalines was like ringing in my head here. Jean-Jacques Dessalines was ringing in my head. Bulekai Kupete. And I couldn't shake it off. This is what I'm trying to get at. I couldn't shake it off. Oh, by the way, that's why I'm in therapy. Because I grew up in an environment where the understanding is, everyone is sensitive in the family. And you let the rage, you let it build up. You let it build up. And when it's no more, you can't build up, explode like a volcano. And when you're feeling that rage, you're entitled to whatever behavior you choose in your mind. So hurt the other person's hurt the feelings of the person who hurt you. And we're using all kinds of words. We're referencing all kinds of sensitivity. What? You got sickle cell. Yeah, I'm also thinking about how all my examples of when it comes to rage, when it comes to anger. Rage equals you're a man, right? Violence. Fuck this processing feeling. Fuck regulating emotions. Fuck all that shit. What? You gonna cry? Fuck that. Punch a wall or something. Like smash a car. Curse. Jesus Christ. Someone needs to be feeling pain for that rage. You're entitled to it. Unfortunately, our legal system doesn't allow, I'm trying to live in a civilized society, but unfortunately, it doesn't allow us to do what I really want to do. But yes, I've been feeling this anger. And thank God it was my week for therapy. So I was able to bring this up with my therapist. And I appreciated the message of, no, it's okay to feel anger. It's okay to feel it. It's the staying productive. I didn't want to be productive. I was telling her how I was so angry, but surprised at myself how I went to, that same day, I went to the grocery store, and there was a white panhandler who was in front. There's this white panhandler who was in front, and I've noticed them before. We usually acknowledge each other. I would say hi and everything like that, and I won't lie, man. I can't explain it, but there's something about this homeboy's vibes that... It's like, let me put it this way. If I was still a Christian, I would believe God put him there. He's like, he reminds me of in Kendrick's track, How Much Is a Dollar Worth? I feel like he's the same guy, a white guy, that's in Kendrick's song. Telling him about like, hey, that's what, what a dollar's worth, it's your soul. Anyways, I can't explain what it is about his vibe, but I remember we acknowledged each other and he took it upon himself to say, excuse me, sir, you have some change. There was something about the way he said, sir. It was like, reminded me that, yo, snap the fuck out of it. Snap the fuck, no, you didn't get punked. No, you didn't. Snap the fuck out of it. Because yes, I remember feeling so small. And I think that's part of where that anger was coming, was feeling so small. Being reminded of, hey, remember, you came here on a slave ship. And once you got off those slave ship, you got beaten. You had to be a slave. You had to do all kinds of shit. And then we weren't done. We as a people, we weren't done. I can't explain. Look, all I know is by the time I came out, I gave this dude some change. But yeah, I laugh at the idea that, was that Jesus? Whatever. Anyway, my point is, but I remember after I gave him some change, there's like a separate, there's angry me came out. It's like, what the fuck? We just said, fuck white folks. fuck Whitey, and you just gave this cracker ass cracker some fucking chain. You know he's calling you nigga now. I think I was, it's funny. I was out in public keeping it together, despite that I was feeling a lot of rage inside, being civil to every human being, smiling and laughing, but I wanted to like be unproductive. And a part of me was mad at me for not following through. It's like, come on, man, smash that. Fight, call him a cracker. Punch him in the face. And then say, no, I ain't got no fucking change for you. You motherfucker who might be Jesus. Who might be the white version of Jesus. I was in line at the check-in counter, And this motherfucker cuts in line. I remember I'm like, dude, I'm already 7:30 hot. 7:30 is that? I don't know if that's a word. Like, I'm crazy hot. I'm like, someone's got to, like, every, you know what I was doing to soothe me during that day after that moment? I was listening to violent rap lyrics because that was how I was soothing myself. Who the fuck is this paging me at 5:46 in the morning? Crack a dawning. Now I'm yawning. That's Warning by Biggie Smalls. That's what I was like, just to be clear, the idea of violence, not the idea of causing people pain, was soothing. It was the idea of violence was what the only thing that was, I wasn't trying to hear no fucking kumbaya shit. I want to hear like murder people's families, all that shit. So, yeah, I was hot. Oh, yeah. So, like I was saying, man, I'm waiting in line. This motherfucker cuts me in line. And I'm like, oh, not today, motherfucker. But in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to fuck that nigga. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to fuck him here. He says something shit. And then as soon as I came up to it, as soon as I got within earshot, I was like, excuse me, sir. You kind of passed. Fuck, I'm so Canadian. Excuse me, sir. I was actually in line, buddy. I didn't use buddy, but I was like, excuse me, I was actually in line. And I remember, I don't know what kind of look he gave me, but had he said the wrong words, that's what I'm telling myself. You know what I mean? All out warfare. But merciless retaliation. He's just like, oh, whatever. And the salesperson was like, oh, my bad, sir. I thought. I was confused and he let me go, whatever. But I remember after that moment being like, what the fuck is wrong with you, man? He had a perfect moment. He invited you to a nigga moment and you turned it down. So I've been hot. Been hot. The colored violence. That's all I've been drawing pictures in my mind and been using one color. To add to that, I just remembered before that, fast forward, rewind, before I went into work, I remember scrolling through, because this is why it's getting to me, scrolling through social media, and before going to work, I remember I saw a post of, that pissed me off, I'm laughing now, but, Trump posted the video. I'm not going to share the fucking video, but Trump posted some, it's circulated the social medias of a video Trump posted. It's AI of Obama getting arrested. And what angered me is about this. It's like, yo, that's like typical white behavior. It's like, you're the criminal. You're the one that's going to jail. You're the one who's fucking used to pile around with a fucking, you're the one people are calling either a pedophile and a pedophile protector. You're the one with felony cases, and we're going to pick on this one black man who actually took the job seriously. I think that's what gets me. It's how, like, the lowest of white people are afforded this power. Anyway, it was just a reminder of fucking white supremacy. Anyways, that video bothered me. Then I'm scrolling to the next one. It was, I forget, some black girl was talking about how she wants to go see some plantation in the United States. I'm like, that's a double whammy. She's Canadian too. Some black chick was talking about going to the plantation in New Orleans. I'm like, bitch, A, you're Canadian. The fuck you doing in the United States? We're boycotting, remember? And two, a plantation. I wanted to write a comment, but I stopped myself. And the last one was the one that set me off is there's a homegirl, there's a content creator on TikTok. Her name is Ashley the Baroness. The fact that I remember her name tells you how impactful she is. Because I'm bad at I only talk about people's work, like actors. I only talk about their characters. I rarely identify the anyways, her name is Ashley Baroness, and she had a take on the Rat Pack, specifically Sammy Davis Jr. and how he was. She'll explain it better. There's a link in the show notes. You can check it out for yourself. But what's the last takeaway from there? The excerpt she was able to share about the life of Sammy Davis Jr. just reminded me of the complexity of being black living in a white world. Specifically how I went to school with white kids and all of whom I considered friends. Then I became an adult and some of the motherfuckers had fucked up opinions on Facebook. It's like some of my friends couldn't acknowledge, process, accept my humanity. I've grown up, I've been around white people who said shit like, yeah, man, them niggers need to go. If that was me, I'd do some about them niggers. And I'm like, whoa, 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 hey. And they'll be like, oh, whoa, I'm not calling you nigger. I'm calling them nigger because you're no nigger. So stop acting like a nigger. It's neg. Whoa, neg. Okay, neg. Wait, hold on a second. Neg in French is not the same as nigger because it's spelt differently. All kinds of, look, man, it's racism is like fucked me up. That my relationship with white people fucked me up. It's to the point that I would preach about, yeah, send your black kids to a black school. If you want to make sure they have a good self-esteem, send them to. Don't send them to their school. Oh my God. Yes. So I had all that in my mind. So that's where when I come to work and then read this joke, it was like, oh my God, you picked the wrong day. Anyways, to be continued on how do I handle this situation. But I do know, again, I've been processing feelings. And I'm going to play one last clip before I wrap up this topic. I'm going to play a clip that helped me figure out, that helped me make sense of this rage. Well, part of it. Not all of it, but this rage. And it's more the idea of this unwritten rule or this habit or this, I'm going to call it a habit that I'm trying to unlearn myself is prioritizing white people's comfort over our own pain. And I'm going to play a clip about this idea of Jamboy that helped me make sense. Yeah, it was clip of the day. Again, I just inserted this one at the last minute.
Here's a piece of history that I did not even know.
I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff. Like when the British ruled India, they would come over to India to play golf, and they would hire what was called a jamboy for the day.
Yep. Different course than Donnie played.
Yes, different courses. Yes. And they, because the land was better than in England, right? So they would play, they'd hire a jamboy for the day, which was basically an Indian slave that they would take onto the course, but they would cover him in jam so that they would not get any bugs attracted to them. The bugs would all go to the guy covered in the jam. God. And his like payment was to that he got to take the jam home to his family that he was covered in all day. And the only reason I found out about this, because I had no idea, at my school that I went to college at, everyone named their houses like signs. And one house decided to name their house Jam Boys because they were like, oh yeah, like we jam. Like they had no idea about this connotation.
Yeah.
And like we saw the sign, we're like, that's cool. 24 hours later, there's like an article in the school newspaper about it being like, they had to take it down because it was like a bad thing. And it was like this whole thing. And then all my friends started calling me Jamboy. That's like a thing.
All right, first of all, can we talk about the fact that his friends called him a jam boy after finding out what the history of that term meant? And we could probably guess what ethnicity those friends were. Guess and the there's something to be said, of course, about comedy being an outlet for the oppressed, like the blues, dancing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But please explain to me why some of us, and I mean like the marginalized us, all of us, when in the presence of white people, feel the need to laugh at the so-called funny part at our own expense to make them feel comfortable. It's like some kind of cue that says like, oh, it's okay, I'm not mad. They don't deserve that. You know what I mean? They don't deserve to feel comfortable when their ancestral crimes are being discussed. And you know what else? When I first watched this, I said to myself, man, these British, look at these white people. They could have easily used an inanimate object, you know, to put the jam on there and pull with them as they went through from hole to hole as they played. Same effect, right? It would have done exactly the same job. And then a little voice in the recesses of my mind whispered, they did. They did. To them, they did.
Shout out to Black Thinkers Podcast. Oh, I gotta holler at them. Black Thinker Podcast. Yeah, that was amazing. That's where I think part of my anger was, again, this duality. There's one part was like, there's a part of me that was calling me a punk for letting that happen. For not doing more than confront this white dude, like bringing hell. But the other one is that need, that instinctual need to comfort, to make white people. This is not the first time I've been in this situation. Where I felt the need to, like, a white person says something racist, intentionally, unintentionally, whatever the fuck. And my first instinct was, calm down. Don't make a big deal out of it. Remember, we can't afford to have this person, to have this white person feel uncomfortable. Remember Trayvon Martin. In the comment section to that clip, I said, I'm going through one of those situations, except this time I'm choosing not to make them uncomfortable about it. Wait, not to make them comfortable about it. Oh, fuck. Did I write uncomfortable? Not to make them uncomfortable. Oh, my God. The double. I fucked my own self up. Not to make them comfortable about it. And then I added, because the dude was, this point was that, fuck that, man. Make them uncomfortable. Fuck them. And I wrote, I'll be honest, though. It hasn't been easy. I'm unlearning a habit that's been passed on from previous generations. Yeah. Sometimes I remember having this thought. Sometimes I have the feeling that I've inherited or those same survival tactics my enslaved ancestor used to stay alive. It's like, because, you know, you're getting beaten by this crazy cracker, and the last thing you want to do is convince them that, hey, I'm gonna wait for you to sleep so I can slit your throat. You and everyone in your family. No, you gotta hold that shit in. I don't know how you did it, but sometimes I feel like it's been passed on to me by the way I pick up on the discomfort of a white person. Anyway, that's it, man. That's all I got. It's so fucked up. I even wrote notes down. To be continued on how I handled this situation. Oh man, okay, I'm gonna make one last book. One of my other links is Israeli teens burned their army draft papers. And what I like about that clip is, because it's been so easy to put all Israelis into one bucket of Zionists, and it was just hopeful to see some kids acknowledge, like, yo, what our government is doing, what some of what our people are endorsing is wrong. It's genocide. It's fucked up. Hey, we're gonna have to pay for this shit. We're the ones who are gonna have to deal with the consequences of your fucking actions. But whatever. It just reminds me of part of my anger. It just makes me think of how white people like to distance themselves from the crimes committed by their ancestors or even people today. It's like, whoa, no, I'm one of the good ones. While sitting, like, I'm thinking of the, like, there's going to be a future where, in Israel, where some future generation are going to be ashamed of the crimes committed by the IDF and people today while living lavishly in the Gaza Strip. It's like, yeah, man, oh, that's fucked up. It's like, phew, oh, my God. I mean, while living on property that's been stolen from the victims. With that said, this I'm wrapping this up. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. I'm, what do I usually tell you people? You people? What do you mean, you people? Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. And I please don't write in to preach about how, man, you should have fucked up that white boy. Well, fuck you. You should have fucked him up and then done an episode about how you fucked him up. I've heard it already. Thanks a lot. Before I end the show, I want to remind you this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. Capital F. Capital F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, that's a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening, and remember, please, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.